In the wake of the September 11th attacks, you may remember the Bush administration authorized the National Security Agency to eavesdrop on U.S. citizens without a warrant. It was a secret program, but it came to light in December 2005. And President Bush insisted warrantless wiretapping was essential for American safety, he explained on CBS News in July of 2006.
I made the decision to listen to phone calls of al-Qaeda or suspected al-Qaeda from outside the country coming in or inside the country going out, because the people, our operators, told me that this is one of the best ways to protect the American people.
Congress legalized the Once Secret program in 2008, and civil libertarians continue to claim it's unconstitutional, and it appears the Supreme Court will hear a case on this issue. Joining us now, Adam Liptak, Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Although, Adam, what they're really talking, the Supreme Court is really going to decide first, is whether or not the plaintiffs have standing. Can you explain?
Yes, so we're 10 years out from when this all started, and we're still looking at a very preliminary question of does anyone have the right to sue over this program? It's a crazy thing because it's hard to know who can sue because it's a secret program, and in order to have standing, you have to prove that you've been injured. But how can you prove you've been injured when you don't know for sure that you've been wiretapped? What we have here are lawyers for prisoners at Guantanamo, journalists who work with sources abroad who say it's very likely that their communications will be picked up, and that in fact it's so likely that they've taken steps to avoid using the phone when they talk to sources and clients. They meet them in person. They therefore are injured by having to take on those additional costs. And the Federal Appeals Court in New York said that's good enough. That's injury enough to have standing. And now the Supreme Court will decide whether that's right and whether the case can go forward and whether we can, after all these years, finally have an answer to whether this program violates the Fourth Amendment.
Although it's been difficult to get any court to make a decision based on future actions, do we have any clue as to how the Supreme Court will decide?
The Supreme Court in this kind of case, both in standing cases generally, has read standing fairly narrowly, very, very vigorously, and in cases involving efforts to combat terrorism has been sympathetic to the government. So I think there's good reason to think that they're going to say these plaintiffs do not have standing, and therefore it may be that we'll never have an answer to whether the program is constitutional.
And that's really been the question for a long time. People have argued back and forth on whether or not this is constitutional, whether it's legal, and you're saying we may never get that answer.
It's a very curious thing, and so this standing doctrine, which I guess has some sense to it. I mean, after all, you shouldn't have everybody running into court to protest everything the government does unless they have some direct stake in it. But given that it's a secret program that you don't know whether it's being done to you, the standing doctrine can sort of perversely mean the courts will never have a role in deciding whether this really quite aggressive program is constitutional or not.
Adam Liptak is Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. And when would we get when could we expect the decision?
Well, I imagine they'll hear argument in November or so, and then sometime in the spring and no later than June of next year, we'll get an answer.
Adam, thank you so much.
You bet.